Good morning, everybody. I'm Bill Dance. If you love fishing as much as I do, you're really going to like listening to my old buddy, Luke Clayton, for the next hour.
Thanks, Bill. This is David Fox, and welcome to Outdoors with Luke Clayton and Friends. Luke has been a recognized outdoors writer for the past 3 decades and writes for a host of outdoor publications. Luke pens a weekly newspaper outdoors column that appears in over 40 Texas newspapers and is on the pro staff of Gearhead Archery, Air Force Air Guns, Sightmark, Smoking Tech's Electric Smokers, and feel free to contact Luke through his website, catfishradio.org. Now let's join Luke and his guest for this week's show.
Well, thank you, Dave, for that nice introduction, folks. It is Campfire Talk time with Mr. Larry Wysoon, as it has been for the past 13 and a half years this time of the week. Campfire Talk is brought to us by Sea Ark Boats, Sarton Marine down on Lake Fork, where you can buy you a new Sea Ark boat, Pyramid Air, your one-stop shop for everything air gun related, Crockett's Family Resort down on Houston County Lake down in deep East Texas, a good getaway. The 22.5 Mechanical Frog that Mr. Frank Pierce has brought back on the market. Striper Express up on Lake Texoma. And Mr. Wysoon, it's also brought to us by
Hornady Accurate Deadly Dependable, the Dallas Safari Club, BSC, Conservation Education, Hunter Advocacy, and TRHP Outdoors. So, Luke, you know, right now we're here in the middle part of June, and I've just gotten to, actually this evening, it's on the evening of the 12th of June. I know some people are going to be able to listen to this a little bit earlier.
Yep.
I'll be at the DSC Foundation Midsummer Gala trying to help raise money for conservation efforts. But, you know, a part of that, we're auctioning off a bunch of hunts. And as a result of that, it brought me to thinking about this is the ideal time to start planning about hunts that you're going to do this fall.
It is, Larry, and, you know, that's exactly what's been occupying part of my time is if you just wait until a certain time and wait till fall, that's too late. You need to go ahead and make plans right now. Now, if you have a deer lease or a special plate, like Larry's got some land that he's going to hunt, and I've got a spot with my buddy Jeff where I spend a lot of time hunting up in East Texas, you know, that's good, but Larry and I do too. We hunt different places on story assignments and on filming things, you know, like, you're involved with several different filming shows, if you will, Larry. And then, of course, we do our Sportsman's Life that's on Pride Outdoor Network and YouTube. We got a lot of stuff. You and I are going to be gallivanting around quite a bit. So it's important because a lot of these people that we're going to be hunting and hunting with, they've got schedules too. So I know we've got a mule deer hunt together with Mr. Eason out there in far west Texas, out in Ira Ann. I finally learned how to pronounce that. Ira Ann. Great. That's a great place. And last year was both of our first time to be there with Mr. Eason, and I was lucky because we got to meet his sons and his brother, and nice people, and absorb some of that beautiful country, didn't we?
I'll tell you what, that's one of my favorite parts of the state is that Trans-Pecos country, the high desert country, if you will. And actually, I'm glad you brought up the topic because that's one of them that I was going to approach. You know, they're on a managed land permit thing, which allows here in Texas to hunt from a much longer period of time based upon, you know, the number of animals that need to be taken off each year to maintain and improve the habitat and the herds that are there. So I know that Envision with Mr. Eason not too very long ago, because one of the hunts we're auctioning off on the 12th is a pronghorn antelope hunt out in New Mexico that he's providing to the DSC Foundation. But I'm envisioning with John, and he was talking about, he said, you know, the rut takes place out there on the mule deer probably about the middle part of December. So that's kind of when I'm looking at going. I'm still waiting here. You know, we're talking about planning. Sometimes it's a little tough to plan because I've got a hunt scheduled to be in Alberta, Canada, in starting that last week of November. And right now at this point, we're still waiting to see whether or not The borders are going to be open. We're being told there's about a 50-50 chance that they'll be open or a 50-50 chance that they'll be closed kind of thing. But, you know, to me, I think it's time we get that hunt lined up out there on the Eastern Ranch because, again, as I mentioned, that mule deer rut out there takes place in that middle part of December, and I'd really like to be there this year during that time frame to see those old bucks chasing does. And sometimes during the rut, some of those older bucks that you don't normally see earlier or later kind mm-hmm. of start showing up a little bit.
Exactly. Well, Larry, back to the border, which is closed into Canada right now. I've got a fishing trip up there at Tazin, I think is the way it's pronounced, Lake Lodge, which is way up in the northwest corner of Saskatchewan, just a stone's throw from Alberta and just a stone's throw just south of the Northwest Territories. But have you heard anything of the possibility of the border opening before, say in August even? Any talk about that?
The last word that I'm hearing from those guys up there, they don't know.
Yeah, that's what I hear, too.
That's the unfortunate thing. You know, usually by now I'd be buying airline tickets to go mm-hmm. go up there. But, again, I'm being told there's a 50-50 chance that it will not even open this year. So,
yeah,
but, you know,
yeah.
Things are changing a whole lot across here throughout the USA. So, hopefully, Canada will jump on that same type of ball game, if you will, and we'll know something here in the next few weeks. I know hopefully that they're talking about, you know, making a decision maybe sometime that first week in July as to whether or not they're going to be open. So as soon as we know something, by golly, we'll let people know because you know, last year they did not have any outside hunting outside of local residents. And same thing with fishing. And a lot of those places, like you're talking about, there are not too many locals that fish those lakes. So you think about all that. The same thing with the hunting. A lot of the areas that were previously hunted by non-residents did not get hunted last year. And so as a result of that, those old deer are going to have a year of age on them, as will those fish.
True, Larry.
So,
exactly.
You know, and a lot more will have made it through because they were not fish. So, gosh, whenever they do open that border, it ought to be nothing short of fantastic when it comes to outdoor adventures up there.
You bet. I've got a couple of buddies that have fishing, you know, camps up there in Saskatchewan.
Right.
Trevor Montgomery, he owns that Tazin Lake Lodge, and also a couple more, one outpost where it's just a tent camp, but it's on a lake. He says that the fish literally, you know, they might jump in the boat biting your lure. They're just not fish. But him and then Mr. Bryce Liddell at Esquatican Lake Lodge. Bryce is a good buddy. He's come down here and hunted and fished with us, you know, in the past. But they both, you know, it sounds like about 60% of their business they've kept last year, you know, locals, people, Canadians that fish with
right.
them. But they depend heavily on the fishing crew, and most of those guys out, a lot of them outfit hunts too, you know that. And but it's hit them pretty hard. They managed to hang on, but probably pay their expenses with that, you know, the local folks. But they need to open those borders up whenever they deem it safe again. And you know, we need to get up there. Bottom line.
You're right. We need to get up there. I know when I was up there the last time, which in, let's see, that was in 2019 when I shot that Benny Crockett buck up there with Ron Marsh and Maria Nemechek up there on North River Outfitting. And in the process of passing up a lot of bucks, I passed up some bucks that last year would have been big. I'm just hoping and praying I get that they do open the borders, I'll get to see them this year because I got a feeling one or two of those bucks that we left that I got to see probably made it. And if they did, if the wolves and bears didn't get them, by golly, there's no telling them. They may even be bigger than the buck that I shot there in 2019. So I am so anxious to get up there.
Oh,
it's not even funny.
I know you are. We'll tell you a quick little, give you a recap. I was up with our friend Jeff Rice here. I'm going to have Jeff on, try to get him on later in this show, talking about a camp we set up. He's got a great camp up there, but I set up a little trailer camp there too that we'll all have to use. But the trail cameras, the stealth trail cameras, Larry, these things are, I tell you what, I really do think at some point most everyone is going to go to these remote trail cameras that send the signal back to your cell phone. They cost about $7 a month is what it costs to have that service to ping your phone every time an animal comes around a trail or a feeder or whatever. That's all it costs. Once you, the cameras are even not like they used to be. You can buy one for $150, something like that. They're not expensive, but you have the ability to monitor what's going on. So Jeff and I had one down there. It's been set up for 6 months, and it doesn't cost any more to have another person have availability on their phone, you know. So I've been watching that one. It's so much fun. But we set up another one, the Snaplock hunting blinds. We kind of went to those down there. They're awesome.
Right.
Quick to set up. And that little 4x4 blind that I've used for the last 12 years. So we set one up on a feeder by that blind. Now, the funny thing is yesterday morning I happened to be watching Jeff. I left and Jeff was going to stay and hunt, you know. So I was watching. I had my phone with me. Ding! I heard the ping
right
on it. I looked, and here's this hog. There's a water standing under this feeder, and a hog, a big splash, and a hog had hit the deck, you know. And I thought, that rascal Jeff has shot a hog. So I texted old Jeff. I said, you just got one. He said, aren't these cameras nice? I think I sent you a picture of that, you know.
You did. I'll tell you what, to me, those work so many different ways. Not only do you get to see those kind of things, but, hey, if you got a bunch of buddies in camp, you know, or somebody laying back in camp somewhere, maybe not hunting that time, that's got a vehicle, you can see that, and you go, okay, you know, now it's time to come help me get this hog on the ATV, and let's get hung up.
That's true. It's the technology. And then I've been a little lengthy on talking on this segment, Larry, keeping you a little long, but the cool thing about this, you know, a regular trail camera, and I've still got some of those too, you have to set the date and the time and the length of exposure. With these trail, this stuff is all done through an app, so you don't have to set out there in the woods and try to set that camera up. In other words, it's done. You scan a barcode, you take a picture of a barcode with this camera and download that app for stealth, and it does it all. It's so simple, even I can work it, you know. Which Larry, we are out of time, buddy. Look forward to next time that we get together and share a real campfire. And, you know, good luck to all of our friends listening from Amarillo down to the Louisiana border this morning. Hope you're out catching fish or at the deer camp or having some fun.
Amen. Everybody join us right back here next week. We'll talk a little bit more about whoever knows what.
Folks, if you hunt deer in Texas, you use some kind of a game feeder. For many years, I'm talking about 15 or maybe 18 years, I've used the Ultramatic feeders made by my buddy Carl Harmon. Check them out online, ultramaticfeeders.com.